You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94 Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Chardo from the Murray End. And I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Vazidevan from the Papere. Sri Lanka on 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lanka content, dropping into your podcast feed and on YouTube and the 99.94 app several times every week. So do please rate, review and subscribe. And thank you for joining Cricket's conversation. Estelle, we're recording this podcast. It's Sunday morning for me in London. It's Sunday afternoon for you in Colombo. But me and you are both absolutely buzzing for the third edition of the Lanka Premier League. I think we've got to start by explaining that even though every other previous edition of the Sri Lanka Premier League has been played in December, it's not actually meant to be played in December, is it?
No, the official window is in August. So hopefully next year will be the first year where we finally get that tournament going in the correct window. But this time they tried. And of course, because of the economic issues in Sri Lanka, they had to shift the tournament to December.
Yeah, it'd be quite interesting to watch it in August because I think it would mean like a different lot of overseas players are actually available to them, right? Because generally, if you're around the equator, if you're in the middle of the world, of the planet, or if you're in the south of the planet, then there's not generally a huge amount of cricket being played at that time. So they might be able to attract better players. Where at the moment, it's only, playing it in December, I think it's only really in England and Europe where they're not playing cricket. So I think that's part of the reason why they think that window might be a better window to play the game because it's and they're not competing with things like the Big Bash to get overseas players over, right? But the Lanka Premier League, the LPL
not
goes
to forget that.
Oh, go on.
Sorry, we have a lag, I think, today. Not to forget that in January, the ILT20 and the South African League will also kick off. So I think if you are playing, if you're an international player who's playing regularly around the year, it's going to be tough to draw players in December because that's probably the time they'll want to have a bit of downtime, spend with their families or whatever. So December is going to be tough if Sri Lanka can't kind of get out of that time period, particularly for those reasons as well.
Yeah, but we've got it going. It looks like it's going to carry on. And actually, I'm a big advocate of the LPL. I think it's quite entertaining. I think it's brilliant that Sri Lankan, what is effectively Sri Lankan domestic cricket with a little bit of international stardust, is being beamed into homes all over the world. And I think it's one of those things that every year it will get stronger and stronger. However, my one issue, my one concern is that, again, we're in a situation where team names have changed. And I'm led to believe that is largely because ownership has changed as well. Even though we were told, I definitely have heard in a press conference, that team names were not going to change.
Well, they've changed half of the name. Maybe that's the justification. Candy Falcons and Aura Dambulla. So half is 50-50.
Yeah. But I think the thing that's, if what they really need for this tournament is consistency, right? Paul, if you're a Dambulla fan, you've seen your team name change every tournament. You go from Vikings to Giants and now to Aura. I was trying to figure out online I spent a lot of time yesterday, who actually owns them. It's really, I can't find out. If you know who does own them, please leave a comment or, get in touch with me on Twitter and tell me. I'd love to know. Because I think they, to a degree, there needs to be some sort of transparency about where this is all coming from, right? I'm sure the ownership groups don't want it to feel as you know, they don't want any bad feeling. I just think it's interesting to find out who these people are, where their money's coming in, what their interest in cricket is. Just from a, you know, a transparency perspective. Anyway, Estelle, should we talk about what you're looking forward to in this tournament and, you know, what excites you about the Lanka Premier League?
Yeah, I'm hoping this time we will see a more competitive competition. Jafnal has been kind of dominant throughout the last two seasons. And although I do support them, I think it'd be good for the league itself to see a little bit more competitiveness, particularly from sides like the Kandy franchise. Of course, they've got Vanidu Hasaranga this year around. He's moved from Jaffna to Kandy. So he'll be captaining that team. It looks like a pretty decent lineup. The thing is, just looking at the squads, it's very difficult to kind of put down a playing 11 or, you know, kind of tell you who is the kind of leading side. And I think that's mainly also because we don't know, until players actually land in Sri Lanka, we don't know how many of those overseas players are coming. So that's something I'm looking forward to seeing. Guys like Jimmy Neesham, if they come, it's going to be massive for Sri Lanka because they are players who have played around the world. They're not retired players. They're not past their prime. They're still, you know, representing their countries. So excited to see some of those players coming in. I think there are a couple of Dutch players as well, a couple of players from Associate Nations. Sikander Raza is one guy who I'm really excited to see. He's had a tremendous year in international cricket. And it's good to see our franchises also picking up those players who may not come from the bigger nations, but who have been consistently doing well in the international arena.
Yeah, let's talk about the Jaffna team for a moment, right? Because when the LPL was launched, I kind of thought, you know what, I'm going to be what was then a Colombo Kings fan, now a Colombo Stars team. But actually, the minute the tournament got going, that Jaffna team just took, I think, not just mine, I think a lot of people's breath away kind of thing. That they are brave, they are bold, they're progressive, they give young players chances. If you look at the Sri Lanka team now, the actual Sri Lanka T20 team, it is littered with stars who've come through from that side. And in all of that as well, the other thing you've got to remember is they've changed ownership after the first season. So, you know, we're going into the third season, they've still got the same owners who are, incidentally, the people who own Leica Telecom, which is a huge company in the UK and India, and I assume they've got a presence in Sri Lanka as well. So they, you know, even though they changed that ownership, we saw last year in the second edition of the tournament, is that they still kept with all the principles that kept them an exciting team to watch. And I kind of look at their squad and I go, right, who's going to be the players who are going to put the hand ups this time around? Who's going to make the impact this time around? I like to give Thistera Pereira a lot of credit. I don't know if that's right or not. But they seem to have kind of, they've figured out what works in the first two editions. And I assume they're going to kind of stick about for the third edition. And that's what I think makes them such, you know, they'll stick to those principles in the third edition. And I think that's what makes them an exciting team to watch. And I'm desperate to get a Wilalagay Jaffna shirt if I can somewhere and wear that with pride. I think it's really interesting. I think, you know, as you say, it's interesting the stars that are coming over. I saw Colombo sign Ravi Bapara. He's always an exciting player to watch, even though he might be in the twilight of his career. There's lots of exciting things going on. There's loads of exciting young players in Sri Lankan cricket as well that haven't got anywhere near the international side that this tournament should give an opportunity to break through, right?
Yeah, and just on the ownership point you were making about how not much really changed in the Jaffna setup despite the ownership changing. And when you compare that to a team like Dambulla, where we did see a few questionable picks in last season's competition, where you had players from the Cayman Islands suddenly, you know, making it into the playing 11, batting ahead of the likes of, you know, Najibullah Zadran, who is such a good player. I covered most of the games in Colombo, and it was so, I don't know, disappointing to see that kind of, I know, I'm all for, you know, giving opportunities to players from, you know, some of the lesser known nations, but it seemed like something, you know, untoward was going ahead. But so it's good to see this time. It seems like they have kind of, you know, brought things in a little bit. And Jaffna, despite the ownership change, there weren't really that much of, you know, changes Tisra Pereira had to deal with. And you're right, I think he does deserve a lot of credit. He doesn't represent Sri Lanka anymore. He's retired, of course. But he's managed to kind of, I think, overall maintain that kind of authority over the squad. A lot of the decisions that are made, he's obviously in consultation with the management. Players like Mahesh Teekshana have credited him for their growth in the game, both in terms of franchise leagues as well as, you know, international cricket. So he's obviously done a good job. If you look at that squad, it looks a really, really good squad. They've got Rahmanullah Gurbaz, another very, very exciting international player. They've got Dunit Velalage, Avishka Fernando, Mahesh Teekshana, Binuru Fernando. So if those players will be ready. Injury-wise, Dilshan Madushankar is another. But they look like a really exciting squad. And the way they've been run, I think, is what a lot of people have kind of liked about them. And that's one of the reasons why they've got a lot of support in the local, fandom.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I think it might be worth mentioning some of those younger players and also players coming back from injury who might be looking to put forward their case for selection to the national team.
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
So, Estelle, we should, I think, be seeing the return of Avishka Fernando and Kusal Pereira in this tournament, right? Two players who were a big part of the national setup before their injuries and have kind of, I suppose both of them basically haven't played much this year. I can't remember when Avishka last played. Did he go to India? I can't remember if he went on that India tour or not. But there'd be two players who'd be looking to put a marker down to get back in the national side, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a massive tournament for players who are coming back from injury as well as the younger players, because ODI World Cup is coming up and these guys, like you said, haven't played a lot of international cricket, and Sri Lanka do seem like they are still not decided on who their top order is going to be or their bowling lineup is going to be. So a lot of opportunities. I know it's a different format, but definitely I think this tournament is a great opportunity for players to kind of put their hands up and kind of for those little vacancies Sri Lanka have in their playing 11, that number 6, 7, 8, maybe your number 3, 4, You've got a few spaces to kind of really, if you can do well here, get the selector's eye on you, then maybe there's an opportunity coming later in the year.
Yeah, and you say later in the year, I mean, there's that tour to India that is, I think you told me that we reckon it's going to be the last week of December. We don't know what formats they're playing, we don't know how many matches they're playing. I assume it's going to be ODIs, right? Because I assume SLC will want to be playing as many ODI games. But of course, when you go to India, SLC have very little power over formats and when fixtures will be and how fixtures will be played. So it's up to the BCCI what games get played. But I think that's going to be the short-term goal for a lot of these players, right, to try and get into that squad and get people to have a look at you. There's two players that I really want to mention, which are Nawinder Fernando Nwindu Fernando, sorry, because he's been scoring quite a lot of runs and quite a lot bit of pressure on him to get into the national setup. And the other one was Lasith Cruz-Pelay, because I've seen him play a few times and thought he could maybe break through. I wonder what you think about, you know, if those two were to have good tournaments, do you think they can make it into the setup? Or
I think Nwanindu definitely has a chance, because he was brought in as a standby player for the ODI series Sri Lanka just completed as well. So against Afghanistan. So he definitely is, I think, on the radar. For me, I want to see how Movin Subhasinghe goes. This guy is a guy who, like another rare kind of player. Sri Lanka doesn't really have that many of them. He can really clear the boundary. He's a good striker of the ball. Movin Subhasinghe. So one of them is him. Ashan Randhika is another. And also Suminder Lakshan, who is a leg spinner, in the Jaffna setup, but hasn't been able to get games, obviously, with Nwanindu in the team. So now with Nwanindu moving to Kandy, he'll have a real opportunity. There are a few spinners there, I think, also, who will want to make their mark in this tournament. Sachindu Kolumbage is another one. He had a good tournament for Tambula last year. So few spinners, and definitely with the bat, it's Ashan Randhika and Movin Subhasinghe, who I will be, you know, watching closely.
Exciting stuff. Should we take another quick break? When we come back, let's wrap this up and see what else that there is to look forward to in this tournament.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So, Estelle, I'm going to ask you for your predictions of... I don't want to know who you think is going to win it, because there's no point in making that prediction at this stage, because we don't know what the 11s will look like. We don't know, as you say, we don't know what foreign players will end up actually playing in the tournament. What I want is your prediction for highest run scorer and highest wicket taker as well.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think runs, definitely someone like Kusal Mendis will be in the running, because he's been in superb form right throughout. So if he can get going for Gaul, of course, runners up in both the previous editions, he could really make a big difference there. Kusal Mendis, probably my pick for highest run scorer. Overseas players, I'm going to back Sikandar Raza to continue to have, you know, a fantastic year. He could be the all-rounder of this season. I don't know. He's got the kind of skills to make it as a key spin bowler as well in these conditions. So in terms of all-rounders, I think Sikandar Raza might be up there. Wicket takers is going to be tough. Obviously, Nwanindu Hasaranga is going to be, you know, in that top bracket. But I think even it's tough to pick, right? Someone like Noor Ahmed might be another one who has a good tournament for Gaul again.
For my top run scorer, I think I'm going to go with Gurbaz. Because I think he's played a lot of LPL. He's played all the LPL tournaments. He's also nicely warmed up by playing 3 ODIs, and he's done all right in them. And I always think he's a real handful for bowlers to deal with. And my top wicket taker, I'm going to go with Deekshana. I think I know. I've just realised I've picked both players in the same franchise. And I'm going to say my breakout star. You know who I'm going to give it to, Esther. It's going to be Willala Gay, right? I think this is going to be his tournament where, off the back of what he's just done against Afghanistan, I think he's going to come in with a huge amount of confidence. I think that Jaffna setup is going to really make him confident. And he's going to go in and smash runs and get wickets. I think the difficult part for him is trying to make himself, because he's not going to bat at the top of the order, and he's probably not going to be even the first change when it comes to bowling. He's going to be trying to find that place to get into lay his mark in the team, that if that makes sense, right? So I think he could be the, this could,
you know,
be
you
the,
pick three
the,
players the from the same franchise, right?
I know, and I shouldn't have done that. It's terrible. It's terrible that I've done that, but I suppose that's the faith I have in the side. And I said I don't want to predict a winner, but I'm sitting here thinking that they're the team to beat, right? They're the team that have laid the marker down. They're the team that really have grabbed the opportunity. I know there's a lot of Gaul Gladiator fans out there as well. But for me, it's Jaffna who are the team that are doing something different and trying to do everything this tournament's meant to do, entertain, find ways to win, and also bring youngsters through and give them exposure. And I think it's interesting that it's... Oh, sorry, go on, Estelle.
Yeah, no, you can finish your point. I was just thinking about two guys whose names I missed, like late additions to the squad, Siobhan Daniel and Kevin Kothigoda. Kothigoda, definitely I'm looking forward to seeing him. I was very surprised that he wasn't part of the previous two editions, because if you haven't seen him before, he's a bowler who has a similar type of action to Paul Adams. So kind of unique action. He's played the T10 tournaments. He's been a part of those little franchise leagues overseas, but weirdly enough, didn't get an opportunity in the LPL so far. Had a couple of injuries as far as I know as well. So that's another player who I think a lot of people will be eyeing. Maybe even if he doesn't get an opportunity for the national side, I think a lot of franchise teams will be eyeing him as well, because he's just a unique proposition, right? And Siobhan, very young, known to be a hard hitter of the ball, played in the inaugural youth PSL, another late addition to the squads, I think, after the
draft
was held.
He was absolutely phenomenal in that PSL tournament.
Yeah, he was. And again, Sri Lanka is on the lookout for these guys who can really strike the ball. So in those two, you've got two kind of unique players as well.
Let's talk about Kevin quickly. I'm glad you brought him up, because if you haven't seen the video, you need to go check out the Papres YouTube page, because they've got, you'll know this, Estelle, because I imagine in the office there's a counter on the wall for him. Every time he gets a view of his bowling action, it goes up, because there's about 10. He's effectively Sri Lanka's equivalent of Cristiano Ronaldo, because I think there's about 100 million views on that video of him and his bowling action, right? Which to me always looks like he's going to dislocate his hip or something.
Some part of his body.
But yeah, I think he's been unlucky with injuries, but, and also I think there was a feeling that he couldn't consistently bowl even a four over spell, right? That you'd get one or two good overs from him, and that'd be him done. But I assume he's gone away and worked at it, and now it's his time to grab the opportunity. And Siobhan Daniels as well is another interesting youth player, or young player, I should say, who I think even last season, this season is. He's on a trial at the Rajasthan Royals, is he? They're both on a trial at the Rajasthan Royals at the moment. So, you know, I suspect they'll end up being possibly, you know, in a worst case, I think that probably means that they'll end up getting some sort of Nets contract in the IPL when that starts, which I imagine is quite lucrative. I have absolutely no idea how much net bowlers earn, but or in this case, net batters as well. But the fact that they're able to get these opportunities, I think bodes quite well for Sri Lankan cricket. And also, you know, shows that we do have strength there, and that if we can nurture it and if we can get these, if we can get some of our younger players involved in leagues around the world. If you look at like Pathirana and his trajectory to playing in the IPL, it was totally unorthodox compared to almost every other player ever involved in Sri Lankan cricket. But if we can find these pathways, then actually playing for Sri Lanka or coming up through the traditional routes isn't the only way. And that I think that bodes incredibly well for the strength of Sri Lankan cricket in years to come.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because there's never been a doubt about talent, right? There's never been a doubt about the abundance of talent in Sri Lanka. Talent is there. It's the opportunities that are lacking. And just to go back to the Jaffna franchise as well, I think a lot of people, including myself, wanted to back them because of the opportunities they were providing to players from the northeast of Sri Lanka, which, like, areas which we haven't seen, in terms of cricket, we haven't seen much of. So through that, I think that first season, when they had those 4 to 5 players and they had players in the playing 11, not just, you know, warming the bench, they had players in the playing 11 from those areas, I think really kind of set the tone and got a lot more people to kind of look at those things. So similarly, players like Kottigoda getting an opportunity in the LPL, it's just showing the world what Sri Lanka has, right? What players are available. Maybe they don't go on to play for Sri Lanka, but for them personally, it's a massive opportunity to make a career out of this, because we all know, you know, domestically players aren't paid that much. It's tough to, you know, be professional. But if they are able to kind of showcase their talents and, you know, show what they can do at this level, and this is what Sri Lanka has been lacking over the last decade, right? Then they will be getting opportunities to play overseas. And this can only benefit Sri Lanka cricket, because when they come back and they play your domestic competitions, you know, everything's kind of a ripple effect, right? So I think that's the importance of, you know, having a franchise league like this. And it's really great to see youngsters like that getting opportunities. Hopefully they do get into the playing 11s and aren't just, you know, on the sidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I you know, in the first LPL, which started during the pandemic, when that was on Sky Sports in the UK, and I just thought this was an absolute seismic moment for Sri Lankan cricket. I just thought the exposure it's getting, there was, you know, not a huge audience, but there was people watching it in England, which meant there would be people watching it all around the world, because it's basically been into every household that has, you know, that pays for premium cricket access in the world, which is a huge number. And I thought that the exposure that the players are getting, the circus around it that it's creating, it's replicating what it would be like to play international cricket, right? And I think for young players, that's totally invaluable. Just to be in that environment, really professional setup. Not saying that the domestic setups they come from are professional, but there's just more money at this point around it. So I think it's really ultra important. And also, you know, this is something, Estelle, that me and you are planning to do more episodes on. There is ways for Sri Lankan players to earn a living which aren't totally reliant on getting a central contract from SLC or playing, you know, getting into the national side, because there are other opportunities. And we're only going to see more opportunities be created, right? If you look at that UAE league that's starting up, they're not going to have a huge amount of domestic players that fit into that league. There is opportunities for Sri Lankan players to get into that side. And that's, again, it's not reliant on selectors. It's not reliant on, you know, on making sure the board like you or even what school you go to. You're just going to be picked on talent for those tournaments alone, right? So that's why the Lanka Premier League is so important to not just cricket on the island, but potentially it could potentially be a great source for economic revenue if Sri Lanka can really establish a pipeline of players going off to play in other places as well, right?
Yeah, and that just goes back to the whole, you know, the point we were making just now about the opportunities and how it all comes back, right? It's a ripple effect. The better your players are, the better your domestic cricket is going to be, and then that's going to in turn produce better players. Because like I said, the talent has never been an issue, right, with Sri Lanka. The problem is many of these players are learning, they're learning the finer parts of the game in international cricket. And that's why they've kind of fallen behind. But with this, these opportunities coming through, then they don't really need to do that. Because, I mean, we spoke about Charith Asalanka the other day, how he looked when he made his debut and how he's changed. So he's one player who's had to learn while in international cricket. He's learning the job while at the highest stage, which isn't easy, right? It's not easy. And when we talk about how bad he looked during his debut, he was facing guys bowling at 90 miles an hour. He was facing Mark Wood. He was facing Chris Jordan. It's not easy. So with these opportunities, and I hope the LPL continues in the coming years, because you never know when it's going to be like completely shut out. But with these opportunities, it's only going to benefit players and in turn the domestic structure as well.
Let's leave it there, Estelle. We'll obviously be back doing a lot more LPL content as we go through the tournament.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.